Welcome to another week of embarking on a beautiful journey of experiencing His nearness. As we prepare our heart, mind and spirit to receive fresh manna this day, let our lives be filled with the truth of God's word, and may the Lord bless you to live your life in its fullness.
Amen. It is such a joy to be here. As I was just entering the building today, I was reminded, you know, of what God can do, you know, when you're able to carry God's dream. You know, when we came into the city, one of the things I felt every day the Lord would say was just show His heart and His dream. And sometimes, or I say many times, to see God's dream, you need to kill a dream of yours. And that journey has taught me that there is nothing that you can give in exchange or as a substitute for Him and His presence. Nothing. Not the trophies, not the victories, nothing. You can talk about all what God has done, but there's nothing, even today, I can say, wherever I've been, and that there's nothing that can, you know, be a substitute for Him and His presence. And I know He's here. He's in our midst right now. Amen. I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 33, verse 12. And I'm going to read. One day Moses said to the Lord, "You've been telling me to take these people up to the promised land, but you haven't told me whom you will send with me. You told me I know you by name, and I look favorably on you. If it is true that you look favorably on me, let me know your ways, so I may understand more fully and continue to enjoy your favor. And remember that this nation is your very own people." The Lord replied, "I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you." Then Moses said, "If you don't go personally with us, don't make us leave this place. How will anyone know that you look favorably on me and your people if you don't go with us? For your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all the other people on the earth." And the Lord replied to Moses, "I will indeed do what you have asked, for I look favorably on you, and I know you by name." Then Moses responded, "Then show me your glory." The Lord replied, "I will make all my goodness pass before you. I will call out my name, Yahweh, before you. I will show mercy to anyone I choose, and I will show compassion to anyone I choose. But you may not look directly at me at my face, for no one may see me and live." And the Lord continued, "Look, stand near me on this rock. As my glorious presence passes by, I will hide you. the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and let you see me from behind, but my face will not be seen. You know, the last thing, I love that, that part of it, that, you know, you, the word you, amen? That is what makes the difference in our lives. The word you, you know. I've read this chapter 32, 33, 34, and, you know, every time I read this, I just, something God awakens in me, you know, something God begins to show me about him. I remember a few years back, how many of you have gone on flights? The first time that you fly, right? Oh, I mean, there's so much of excitement. You don't know how, you're afraid, you're anxious, you don't know what it looks like. You know, you have questions like, will they give you water? You know, or, you know, is there a restroom? You know, I mean, you have different questions when you go for the first time. And I remember the first time I went in and, you know, I always love sitting at the window seat, looking out. And then as I started to travel, you know, more and more, somehow I would just sit at the window seat and I would just pray, Lord, just, I wish we could just reach where we want soon. One day, as I was sitting on this seat, you know, as usual, and I closed my eyes and I was like, God, I'm so tired. I just wish, you know, this flight just reaches US soon. So I'm sitting there, and as we were taking off, this little kid that was sitting behind me begins to scream. He says, Daddy, I see the whole world. And for a moment, I looked again. And when I looked again, the Lord began to show me something that I've never seen. And it reminded me that sometimes we lose the awe of who he is. Because we are so used to be talking about his presence, being in his presence, singing songs to him, singing songs of his presence, for his presence, to his presence. We do all of that, but somewhere down the line, sometimes, you know, it has happened to me, you know, it is that you lose the awe of who he is. And that's a prayer that I pray every day, Lord, that I may not lose the wonder of who you are. Never. If everything else is taken away from me, it's fine. But may I never lose the wonder, the awe of who you are. And Exodus 33 is a conversation of a man who was on a mission, a mandate, brought the people out, you know, millions, you know, hearing their complaints and all of that, but still, you know, he was God's voice to them. Amen. That's what we see in chapter 32, what happened there. You know, Moses goes up to the mountain. He ministers. He's with God, speaking to God. And in that time, the people there are looking for a God. You know, sometimes I've seen this, that many times our relationship with God is through somebody else. Our faith in God is through somebody else. Amen. And when something happens to that person, you know, the same thing happens to us. Moses went to talk to God, and as he was missing, God was also missing. To an extent, the people said, we need a God. It doesn't look like Moses is coming back. He's been there quite a bit. We need someone else. We need something else to fill this. And he says like this, they make this prayer. He says, make us some gods who can lead us. That's what he says here. Amen. They forgot this man. They forgot Moses was the one who took them out, who brought them out. Just see what happened there. You know, it's very interesting. It says in 32, chapter 32, you read verse 6 onwards, it says, they got up in the morning, you know, the next morning, they run to Aaron, and, you know, what does Aaron say? Come down, we'll make something, take off your earrings, your gold chain, your bracelets, melt them, let's melt them and make a golden cow. I'm just thinking, Aaron, how could you make up a god so easily? Amen. Wow. While this is happening, the Lord is having a conversation with Moses. To an extent, the Lord told Moses, Moses, go down, because your people whom you have brought from the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. You know, they turned away from him. As we begin to read that chapter, we begin to understand that Moses comes down and we know what happened over there. But one thing, Moses, as he's having a conversation with God, you know, was he had all of this. He had the mandate. He was the leader. He was the only one who could meet and talk to God, experience him. The same man makes a prayer like this, you know, that Lord, if your presence doesn't go, don't send me. You have given me everything, Lord, but I still want you. Amen? It doesn't matter, Lord, all the trophies, all the things that I can talk about, that, you know, that I can say, you know, testimonies and testimonies of your goodness, of what you have done through our journey. But Lord, I still want you more. I still want you more. And the first thing we began to see in the life of Moses is that, you know, that's what I believe, that we still need to be curious. We still need to be in that place of like, no, I am still not content. I know there is a part of God that is yet to be discovered. There is a revelation of God and his face and his attributes that is still to be discovered. Lord, I want that. I want that. You know, and Moses is still curious. Wow, he's asking for more. He's asking for more. You know, what God did in the wilderness, the manna, all of this. I mean, that did not excite him. Wow, today we would be talking Facebook, Instagram. Oh, miracles, this happened, that happened. But what he's asking is, Lord, all this is beautiful, but what I really want is you. I want is you. I really want more of you. Amen. Do we come to our services like this? You know? Do we come curious in a way like, God, there's something about you that I need to discover today? Or are we like, hey, Lord, I have a revelation already about you. I'm satisfied. This itself is beautiful. This is nice. I just want to be content here. No. Every time. See, this is what I believe, that every time we walk in to meet him, your revelation has to be a new revelation. If you do not have a new revelation, your worship will die. If you do not have a new revelation, when you come to him to even worship, your worship will die. Because you cannot bring yesterdays. You need to bring what is new. You need to bring what is fresh. And the only thing is, Lord, I want more. I need more. Man, the manifest presence of God was there right before Moses, and he is still asking for more. The Bible says they met as friends. They met face to face. Wow. Moses is considered a friend of God. And even though he's considered a friend of God, he wants to know, Lord, let me know your ways. That if it is true that you look favorably on me, let me know your ways. So I may understand you fully. Lord, I am not done learning from you. I am not done understanding you. I am not done discovering you. I am not done soaking you up. I am not done experiencing you. I want more. I want to know your ways. I am still curious. I still want to discover a side of you that I have never seen. That's what he says. Amen. Look into the life of Moses. All the plagues that came upon Egypt. You know, the Lord told him to hold his staff and split the Red Sea, split. And still Moses is saying, I'm curious. I still want to discover you. He says, we walked over dry ground. That was a testimony. But still, Lord, I want to know your ways. He says, Lord, you made water come from the rock. But I am still curious, Lord. Manna came from heaven. I'm still curious. I still want to know your ways. You brought the cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. But still, Lord, I want to discover you more. Come on. You met me inside the tent of meeting, and still, even after that, I can still say, I want you more. I need a little more of you. You told me that you're going to take me to the promised land, but I still want more of you. Oh, come on. If I never get to share this with anybody else, I want to know you more so I may understand you fully and continue to enjoy your favor. That's what he said. Amen. He says like this, remember, this nation is your very own people. Wow. See, it's hard to not take somebody for granted when you don't understand where they're coming from. Amen? Here, that's the grace that was upon him, the mantle that was upon him, the miracles that he saw, the tangible presence he already experienced. He's saying, after all of this, God, I am still curious. Can you give me a little more of you? Come on. Amen. I just pray that even as you sit there, the Lord will stir your heart today. Come on. Stir your heart. Stir your heart. Lord, for more, Lord. Say to him, Lord, Lord, I need a revelation today again. Lord, I need a little more of your presence, Lord. Amen. I know, Lord, your loving kindness is with me. I know, Lord, your blessings are with me. Lord, I know you're still healing me. You're speaking to me. I know all of this. I still know that great is your faithfulness. I sometimes have no idea how you do things, but still, Lord, I am curious. I still want more of you. Amen. I don't want to come, this is what I pray. Lord, I don't want to come into a service knowing where it's going. I don't want to come to a time of worship where I know where it's going. Amen. I just don't want to show up every Sunday and say, yeah, the presence of God is here. No, I want to stay in awe. You can only stay in awe if you are hungry. May the Lord bring hunger to you. The second thing we begin to see here is never choose what he gives over his presence. This is how Moses broke that down. He said, the Lord replied, I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. Everything will be fine. I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you. This is God's word. If we had got this word, we would be like, whoa, we are done for the year. We have his word. We would feel safe and at peace. Because you already just got a word that he's going to be with you personally. And he's going to give you rest. Everything will be fine for you. Wow. We would say, amen, thank you. We would write the date of that, you know, put it on our journal. And like, we'll be happy. But then Moses stops God there. Excuse me, one minute, Lord. He says, Moses responds, Lord, if you don't go, if you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. This is Moses' response. Moses is saying, I heard you. Thank you for this. But I just want you to know something. If you don't go personally with us, don't make us go. We want more of your presence. Because it is your presence that sets me apart, that sets us apart from anyone around. Amen. Thank you for your word, Lord. But you are going with me. If you don't go, I am not going. Don't just tell me, Lord, to go there because I need you to be with me every step of the way. Because without you being with us, you're absolutely nobody. That's what he begins to cry out. You are the one factor that changes everything. Even if this was an empty room, I would say somebody is there because he is here. He's here. But if he's not here, I don't want to be here. If he doesn't come, I don't want to go. If he's not speaking, I am not speaking. If he's not coming into our worship experience, we are not having a worship experience. Is he more important than everything else? Or everything is so important that it doesn't matter if he's there or not? That's a question. How many of us notice if he's there or not? Amen? I know when it comes, you know, thank God for all of this place. Thank God for his faithfulness. But this should be our prayer every time you walk in. God, I want to be surprised today. I don't want to come into something that I know, oh, this is how it's going. No. I want to come receive a revelation. I want you to put something, a seed inside of me. Amen? I want you to put a seed of hunger inside of me, because hunger is the sign of life. We are not looking for him to come to our standard. We are asking, Lord, we want to come there. Amen? Not just singing the songs we want. Not just being happy that, hey, you know, I started as a worship leader. And one of the most beautiful things is when people respond in worship. But people don't respond, you go and hit your head on the wall after the service. What happened to me? I'm a bad worship leader. Nobody. And some of them stand like, make me worship. Have you been there, worship leaders? I said, you try. The most anointed song, the latest one, whatever, the fastest one, I will not move. Have you been there? Some of us are like, oh, seeing the same worship leader's face again and again. Man, it's so boring. Pastor Bridgie, can you bring in a few new ones? It's not just we coming and hearing a sermon, doing a little praise break, you know, doing a little worship. No. The scripture does not say that. I was glad when they said unto me, let me go and hang with Pastor Priji, Pastor Siju, and the rest of you here. No. What does it say? It says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the presence of the Lord. So Moses here is saying, Lord, I don't want all the stuff that you're giving me. That's not what I want. If you do not give me you, I ain't moving from you. So if you think that I'm come here just to experience you, feel a little good and go back, no, that's not the reason I'm here. I'm here because I want you. I'm here because I want a revelation of you. I'm here because I want to see a side of you. I'm here because I know there's something about you, a mystery about you that you're going to reveal. Amen. And this is what I believe. If you fall in love with the presence of God, it doesn't matter if the preacher is that good. Honestly. It doesn't matter if the worship leader is good. Amen. It doesn't matter if there are lights and if it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how your seats are. Come on. If everything else is right, and this is not right, there's a problem. The third thing we see about Moses here, he begins to ask for it. Amen? He begins to ask. You know, when you have little kids, like babies, When babies are hungry, they don't ask you permission. Can I cry? Or it's like Pastor Ray is there. Shh. It doesn't care. Pastor Ray is there or not. When a baby is hungry, it will cry. Amen. It will show forth his hunger. Are you showing your hunger? Ask him for something new. And the Lord replies to Moses, and he says this, I will indeed do what you have asked. I will look favorably on you, and I know you by name. This should have been enough for him. This should have been. The same staff, you know, that little staff that turned water into blood, frogs came out, darkness covered the earth. All these kind of crazy things happened with that staff. You know, miraculous things happened with that staff. But here, he's asking, Lord, this is not what I'm here for. Show me your glorious presence. Show me yourself to me. When is the last time we prayed, we've asked the Lord for more? Like, I'm from Kerala. So if you go to a Kerala, like a Malayali church, if you ask somebody to testify, they will start from 1925. Their testimony. 1925 I was born. What about now? What is God doing now? We have testimonies. We have amazing stories. We have seen God's provision, God's hand. But now, what are you hungry for? Now. For him, Moses, to say, Lord, do it again. Show me your glorious presence. And I believe that as much as you have been waiting for him, he has been waiting for you. Adam and Eve walked every day. They would walk in the garden. Every day in the evening, God would come and walk with them. Every day. They would have conversations every day. Face to face conversations. Beautiful conversations. Till one day, they went missing. They were hiding. God came in the same place to talk to them, to encounter them. Amen. And what happened? They were hiding because they felt they were naked. But do you know what was the first thing the Lord asked? He didn't ask, what did you do? He asked, where are you? Where are you? I'm longing for this. I love doing this every day with you. Where are you? Maybe today, I believe the Lord will shift things over this place in the realm of the Spirit. Amen. How many of you believe that? Amen. How many of you believe that God can change? Are you hungry? Are you desperate? Are you ready to tell him, Lord, yes, thank you for all that you have done, all that you have given me, all the blessings, all the healings, all the trophies. Amen. And you know the thing about Moses, he had a revelation. He knew that all his stories in the past, though they were trophies, you know, the thing about the fire of God is the fire of God is looking for an altar, not for trophies. Because if it comes on your trophies, it will consume it. But when it comes on an altar, it's a sweet smelling fragrance back to Him. Build an altar. Build a place in your heart where you're always curious. Always you want to discover a side of Him that you have never seen. Amen. That's what I ask every day. God, if I have everything, I want You more. If I have something, I want You more. If I have nothing, I still want You more. Make that your prayer. Amen. Let me just say this. You know, there is a difference between a church that grows and a church that swells. There is a difference between a church that grows and a church that swells. A healthy body grows. A dysfunctional body swells because something inside is twisted. Something is torn in the inside. Something is sick in the inside. Are you with me today? I believe the Lord is building His church. Come on, we are not a church that swells. We're a church that grows. Amen. I'm going to challenge you today. To crave, to desire for more of Him. Like you have never done. Just because you come into a building like this, just because worship happens here, just because there's a worship leader, just because there is His presence, just because there is a pastor, that doesn't make you a worshiper. What makes you a worshiper is your response to greatness, is your response to the awe of who He is. Then you become a worshiper. That's how you become a worshiper. Amen.
Thank you for joining us this day to worship and to hear the voice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May you continue to flourish in all your endeavors as you walk closely with Him. Have a great week and Shalom.